Hello, folks. Welcome to the Solar Fit Renewable Energy Show. This is Bill Gallagher. First of all, I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and happy holiday season out there. It's just around the bend. Hope everyone has their shopping done. Always appreciate you tuning in. We're here to help spread the good word about clean energy. And today we've got a very special guest. It's Dr. Stephen Smith. Stephen Smith is the Executive Director for Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, also known as SACE. SACE has been the leading voice for energy reform in the Southeast now for over 25 years. Hello, Stephen. Welcome to the Solar Fit Renewable Energy Show.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks a lot for the opportunity to share thoughts.
Well, I sure appreciate you, coming on today. And, before we start, I want to thank you once again, personally, for coming down to Florida a couple of weeks ago and for the great presentation. It was wonderful to see all of our friends at Flossia, Fair, Freya, and have you guys there for support. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm excited. I thought the December 5th meeting was a real testament that the solar community is getting better organized. And I think it was a real coming together of wanting to work cooperatively. And so SACE, Alliance for Clean Energy, we're really glad to be a part of that. And we're excited about what that means going forward into 2015.
Well, we are as well. Stephen, tell everybody a little bit about SACE and its origin.
Right. So the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy is a regional nonprofit energy policy and environmental advocacy organization that does work in a number of southeastern states, Florida, Georgia, North and South Carolina, Tennessee. We're about 28 years old. We've been doing work across the region in that time. Our origins originally were doing work around the Tennessee Valley Authority, but we've been in Florida now for over 15 years, and we are deeply committed to seeing the Sunshine State become a leader in clean, renewable energy, particularly with solar, and that's where we really are going to be focused in 2015, because we think there are some clear and present dangers to the opportunities to growing the Florida market, and SACE is committed to be a part of the solution there.
We do appreciate that, and I guess the best way to say it, Stephen, is we really have some issues down here, don't we?
Well, there's some real challenges, and the good news is that we're seeing other states in the Southeast literally exploding with solar. I mean, North Carolina is going to pass over 1,000 megawatts. That's a significant amount of solar, 1 gigawatt or 1,000 megawatts of solar power being deployed in the state of North Carolina, and that's likely to happen in the next 12 months or so. And then Georgia has really been moving on solar. We were just part of an agreement in South Carolina that reached agreement on net metering and how utilities and solar providers should interact that set the stage for South Carolina really market to take off. And the Tennessee Valley Authority continues to make commitments to solar power. So generally across the South, we're seeing real growth in solar energy. The problem is that Florida, largely because of the large monopoly utility companies, has not embraced the policies that we're seeing in other states that are allowing the solar market to really take off. In North Carolina, it's a renewable energy standard, a renewable portfolio standard that's been on the books since 2006, bringing in lots of good returns there, lots of solar being deployed, lots of jobs being developed, and is helping lower the cost of energy in North Carolina, because we're seeing people being able to lock in their energy costs going forward for a long period of time. In Georgia, the policy was around something called integrated resource planning, where utilities have to come before the Public Service Commission and do really open and transparent planning. And interveners like ourselves and others are able to engage in those processes. Same in Tennessee with the TVA. And in South Carolina, we had both the utilities and the environmental and solar energy advocates coming together under the direction of the commission to find a workable solution. In Florida, FP&L, particularly Florida Power and Light, doesn't want customers to have solar choice that they own and are able to put solar on their homes and businesses. They're really more about owning it themselves and limiting that. And the Public Service Commission is largely acting at their behest, acting more like a wholly owned subsidiary than an independent, balanced regulatory body they're supposed to be. And so in Florida, we aren't seeing the kind of solar growth that we're seeing in other parts of the Southeast, and that's really unfortunate.
Well, for sure, and of course, it brings up the concept of appointed versus elected. We used to have elected PSC members, and now they're appointed. How is that working?
Well, the problem is that when the utilities are able to use large amounts of money to gain political influence with the legislature, and the legislature is ultimately appointing these individuals, they become captive agents of the utilities, which they're supposed to be independent of. And so while there's problems with elections at times, there's also problems with appointments. The situation in Florida has gotten so bad that I think actually making the commissioners go out and be elected and have to face the voters periodically is a much better situation than we have right now.
Boy, I have to agree. And, of course, we'll get into the discussion about the FECA and everything. But, you know, my question, I think we chatted about it a little bit, is, you know, when we have an issue that is so blatantly wrong and someone is appointed to a position, do we have any recourse? What can we do if there's, you know, I'm using the ratepayer-funded study that came out about 2 years ago that said FECA is in the best interest of the ratepayers, and to have them ignore that, isn't that a bit of malfeasance?
Well, you would think so, and the problem is, and our organization, the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, has taken the Public Service Commission up before the Florida Supreme Court over nuclear cost recovery, and we are actually looking at the most recent ruling that came out in December that, as you said, in the Florida Energy Efficiency and Conservation Act, FECA, the Florida Public Service Commission, in essence, gutted energy efficiency. They did not set goals for what they called demand-side renewable energy, which means distributed solar, like a lot of us would like to see. And in some ways, it looks like they violated the law. The question, though, is when you actually try to take that before a court, because the Public Service Commission is given wide discretion, it's hard to make that case stick legally. And so it's been very difficult to hold these unelected bureaucrats accountable to the people of Florida, and they are able to make these decisions. And then many of them, both the staff at the Public Service Commission and even the commissioners themselves, go on and get very lucrative jobs with the utilities that they were, in essence, regulating. And so there's almost a revolving door type of thing that's happening. And this is why the system is so broken in Florida.
Gosh, it kind of reminds you of back in the early days of the Teamsters and some of these unions in New York. It's counterintuitive to start with. Let's talk about the FECA just for a minute. You know, FECA originated back in the 70s during the initial oil crisis, and everyone thought it was a great idea. And now, listening to the commission about 2 or 3 weeks ago, which was almost unbelievable, they basically said that it's less expensive to build new power plants than to encourage people to conserve energy. Is that not counterintuitive?
Well, it's not only counterintuitive, it's factually inaccurate. I mean, basically what the utilities are saying is, in their eyes, for their profits and for their shareholders, it is better to build these power plants than help deploy programs that help customers save money. But what is actually better for customers on their bills is the energy efficiency programs. The problem is that the Utilities Commission, the Public Service Commission, uses a test called the Rate Impact Measure, or RIM test, to evaluate the cost effectiveness of energy efficiency. And what that does is it focuses only on the rate side of the equation. But really, nobody pays a rate in electricity. It is the rate times the consumption that leads to the bill. And you actually look at the bill part, that actually is what you write the check for every month. And so you're really not a rate payer, you're a bill payer. And so if the utilities get, and the commission focuses only on the rate, they can come up with all kinds of convoluted ways of saying that they're saving customers money by not doing energy efficiency, when in reality customers are writing their checks to the bill, and if they lower their consumption, even if the rates went up a little bit, their overall bill would come down. And that's what's really broken here, is that the Public Service Commission is not looking out for customers' bills. They're more focused on the rate. The utilities want people to use more power, and therefore they get to sell more electrons, and therefore they get to build new power plants. And the way that works is if the utility commission, if the utilities, the big monopoly utilities, build a new power plant, they get to bring that in to their asset base and charge a very high rate of return. Utilities get 10, 11, 12% even on these big power plants. Now, I don't know what you're doing with your money, but if you've tried to invest money lately, you're lucky if you go get a certificate of deposit or a CD to get 0.5%. The utilities, if they take their money and build a new gas plant that costs several $1 billion, they'll be guaranteed 10% or more for the next 40 years. So they are highly motivated to try to get customers in Florida to use more electricity so they can sell more electrons and then therefore build more plants. And what we saw happen in the FECA proceeding was, because demand is down, because energy efficiency is working, and because the economy is still slow, the utilities wanted to throw all energy efficiency overboard because they are having a hard time justifying building new plants, and they wanted to eliminate any way that customers could save through these programs. So they went back to this regressive way of evaluating energy efficiency and saying, oh, it's not cost effective, therefore we're not going to do it. And the reality is that simply is not only counterintuitive, it's factually inaccurate, because it is always better to save an electron, and that's the greenest electron and the most cost-effective electron, as opposed to building these new plants.
Boy, well said, Stephen. You know, I always kind of equate this whole discussion to education. You know, when the public is educated and they really grasp this, they'll step forward. The problem is, you know, we need to figure out how to overcome this. The problem is everyone is so busy in their life, they get their electric bill and they just grumble and they say a few four-letter words, they pay it and they move on. How can we let the public know in a large way that, hey, if you really want to save long-term, there are other ways to do it and contact the legislature to get them involved?
Well, people do need to be mad and outraged about what's happening. And if you're not mad and outraged, you're not paying attention. So part of what we think is, in many ways, the sunshine in Florida is not only a tremendous power resource that we need to do a better job of capturing, it's also a powerful disinfectant. And we need to put more sunlight on these decisions so that customers understand how their interests are being gamed in the Public Service Commission to the utility's advantage. And anytime somebody from the Public Service Commission sits there and says, well, helping conserve energy is not a good thing, therefore we're gutting programs, people ought to be very suspect and ought to be asking tough questions. And so, yeah, I think the only way that we can win this is create awareness and opportunities for people to weigh in. And at our organization, the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, at cleanenergy.org, that's where you can track us on the web, cleanenergy.org, we're trying to create those opportunities to help customers be able in Florida to be able to engage thoughtfully in the process and raise awareness so that we put pressure on the decision makers not to let this system be so skewed in favor of the utilities at customers' disadvantage.
Wow, well said. Well, folks, if you're listening and the hair on your back or your neck is standing up like mine, stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to tell you how to get involved.
Wow, what an honor. Thanks to our loyal customers, SolarFit has been named one of the top 100 solar contractors in America. It pays to invest in the very best. You already know how much money our solar water heaters can save you, but what about solar air conditioning?
SolarFit sets you free.
Give us a call and let's talk about solar fitting your home. 445-7606. 445-7606.
SolarFit your life and set yourself free with the sun's free energy.
Welcome back to the SolarFit Renewable Energy, folks. This is Bill Gallagher. I'm very glad to have you with us again today, and I'm with my friend Dr. Stephen Smith, Executive Director with Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, SACE. And Stephen, before the break, we were talking about how to get people involved and really make an impact, not just for today, but for generations to come. You know, our good friend Carl Rabago was at the session a couple weeks ago, and, you know, if you listen, and now there's a fellow that really has his numbers together, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, no. Carl is brilliant, and as a, you know, he's uniquely qualified. He's a former public service commissioner in Texas. He's worked at the Department of Energy. He's worked at Austin Electric, which is a utility provider. He has a lot of experience, and I think his insights are always valuable.
Well, and some of the people, their eyes were kind of rolling back and forth because he was going through some of these equations. But what he has the ability to do is to break it down into small components so you can understand it. And basically what he's saying is that the value of solar in many cases is much greater than net metering, which we'll talk about in a minute. You know, there's the concept that, that's being proposed, that net metering is not in the best interest of the consumer. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we're very concerned that the utilities, in a effort to these big monopoly utilities in Florida, in an effort to constrain and limit the growth of solar on residential and businesses, are going to try to undermine net metering, which is the provision that allows people to, if they generate generate excess electricity from their solar panels, actually get a fair rate of return for it back on the grid and offset their usage one for one against the retail rate. And the utilities now are saying and trying to build the case, and they're even doing insidious things like getting representatives from low-income customers to come forward and say that, oh, no, solar is just for rich people and poor people are subsidizing rich people, and we don't need things like net metering. This is a very insidious attack on the freedom to generate solar power in the state of Florida and the ability to sell that power back onto the grid. What's motivating the utilities is that their business model, their fundamental business model, is that they control who gets to put electrons on the grid, and that the minute that solar companies and individuals at their homes and businesses start to put electrons back onto the grid, then what they're doing is they're effectively competing, and the utilities are losing some of their customer base, and they don't want that to happen. And now that the price of solar is becoming so much cost-effective, we're getting into a zone that's called grid parity, where you know, you can put solar on your home in a cost-effective way. The utilities are very concerned that this is going to further erode their base of customers as customers develop more independence and become empowered and exercise their freedom to put solar on. So they're looking at a way to further constrain that market. And attacking net metering is their next, I think, strategic move that they're going to do. That's why we need people to really band together and say no. Not only no, but hell no, we're not going to let you do this, because we have, in the Sunshine State, we have the right to solar choice. We should have the freedom to do this. Not only that, we should allow companies, solar companies who want to come in and actually directly help people buy down the upfront cost of solar and be able to engage in contracts with customers that allow the companies to help sell solar electrons to customers. That should be something we allow, too. So this is what's going to be a big debate in the coming months in Florida. And one of the things that is going to happen is we believe that there will be a constitutional amendment on the ballot in Florida in 2016, that, and people are going to start gathering signatures in 2015, that says, give us a right to allow solar power to compete fairly in the state of Florida, and let's eliminate those barriers that the utilities and others are using to block solar power growth in the state of Florida.
Absolutely. You know, we're down here, Stephen Ashley, in the east coast of Florida. We cover, you know, about halfway, well, from Jacksonville south, and we've got currently a little over 16,000 customers, and a majority of our customers are middle-income families trying to control their energy costs. They're not rich by any sense of, we have people with well means, but a lot of our customers are just, they're just normal families, and where they see the advantage is that they put the solar system on the roof. There's no transmission loss. You're using the energy right where it's made on the roof, and they love it. So those are the people that we need to get energized and to educate the public that this is something that they could do if they want.
Absolutely, and it is a misnomer to say that this has anything to do with rich versus poor. This is just another way that the utilities are pulling out their bag of dirty tricks to try to make it look like solar is not advantageous. Of course, there are people who are early adopters who have gotten into solar early and had the resources to do it. But the beauty of that is that that has helped bring the cost of solar down to where now solar is available to broader and broader sets of the population, just like what you're experiencing in the east coast of Florida. And we're seeing that across the country. And the other beauty is the price will continue to come down if we continue to have good policies that encourage it, because the solar panels, just like the cost of computers and other things, as you grow more and the output and the production multiplies, the costs come down. And that's the cost curve that we're on, whereas other technologies like coal and nuclear power and ultimately natural gas are all going to take price points up in the long run. solar is on a trend that can give you lower prices and lock those prices in longer term. So we've got to do everything we can to protect our right to generate solar and not let big monopoly utilities block that right and prevent us from having the opportunity to use solar in the Sunshine State.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it brings to mind the strength of the people compared to one company, although it's a gigantic company with, what, $10 billion of profit. You know, the state of Florida needs to energize the people. You know, let's talk a little bit about Arizona and what happened out there. I think it's very interesting. They had a very similar situation where they were trying to stop and roll back net metering. And, boy, the public stood up and took notice and said, oh, no, you won't. And they energized the conservative base who believes in freedom of choice and stuff. I mean, I was really, really happy to see that happen.
No, absolutely. And there's a lot of lessons in Arizona because that was a very high-pitched battle. And the beauty of solar power is it does appeal across the political spectrum because there is a group now in Florida called Conservatives for Energy Freedom that are conservative and even Tea Party activists who were saying that the right to a free market, the right to competition, the right not to be overly constrained by monopolies, the freedom to generate from God's given sun, to generate electricity, the empowerment that comes from that. These are all very strong principles on the right side of the spectrum and actually have appeal across the political spectrum. And then there's a whole range of companies now that are saying, look, if we put solar on our buildings, we can lock in our energy costs going forward for 20 years. And they like that security and that control that they get from controlling their own destiny instead of being subject to potentially mismanagement, like we've seen, you know, with Duke Energy on the west side of the state, where they cracked their nuclear reactor and had to shut it down, and they started overcharging customers, and they've been adding fees. FPL and others have been adding these nuclear cost recovery fees onto people's bills, and you know they're way overextended on natural gas, thinking that they're going to be able to keep natural gas prices low. They even today got approval to do this fracking operation in Oklahoma where they're putting ratepayers at risk, claiming that it's going to save customers money, but they're actually, should be doing that in a unregulated subsidiary that is, puts their shareholders at risk, but now they've Florida customers onto that. And so there's a lot of these risks that customers need to be able to free themselves from this sort of mismanagement and overreaching of monopoly companies. And solar does return power to the people, and that's why the initiative called Floridians for Solar Choice that's going to put things on the ballot in 2016 and help mobilize citizens to get organized is going to be so powerful. So people need to be looking for ways to plug into that, and we're eager to help, and I know you'll be tracking it. And people need to get involved in this because you can't sit idly by. Sitting still doesn't mean that nothing's going to happen. It just means things are going to happen to you, and you're going to lose more and more of your own power to be able to control your energy destiny.
Well, man, well said. It's like, hey, I see the light. Whoops, what? It's a train at the end of the tunnel. It's coming right at me. So
Hey. You
got to be proactive. Yeah. Hey, just a quick thing about, I don't know if you saw it a couple days ago, Leon Jacobs, a former PSC chairman, wrote quite an article, and it really kind of voices what you're just saying right now. In fact, Nancy Argenziano, a lot of these people that have been on the PSC before are standing up and saying, wait a minute, wait, this thing is way out of balance here. Did you see that by any chance?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, Leon wrote a very good op-ed against a gentleman that had basically started parroting the utility position and we think was probably encouraged by the utilities to write the op-ed. Leon, who is an African-American leader and a former Public Service Commission chairman in Florida, quickly responded to that and said, look, this is just simply not true. And he pointed out a lot of things about what not only solar can do, but energy efficiency can do to help customers in Florida. And that's what we've got to do. There is a very deliberate misinformation campaign that's going on in the state of Florida that these monopoly utilities are doing that are trying to game the system to their shareholders' advantage. And what's happening is, because people are not using as much energy as they used to, because there's more energy efficiency, things like LED lights, more efficient appliances, all these kind of things, the utilities aren't getting the sales they need. So what they've got to do is they've got to come up with more and more creative ways to make money for their shareholders, and they're figuring out more and more ways to manipulate the system to their advantage at the disadvantage of customers. And that's where people have got to start paying attention and engage, and to say things like energy efficiency isn't good for customers, or to try to come up with ways of blocking solar, just shows you how broken the situation is.
Hey, you know, we only got a couple of minutes left, and I need to bring this up because it's just unbelievable. On your website, Stephen, you've got a YouTube clip of one of the commissioners basically talking about how the license plate. Tell us what he said there.
Yeah, basically Art Graham, who is the acting chairman of the Florida Public Service Commission, during the FECA hearings, basically took the moment to ad lib a little bit and recite some utility talking points. He said, oh, you know, this Sunshine State mantra that we hear, it's just really a license plate slogan. Florida really doesn't have the kind of sunshine because we get rain in Florida, and we're really not a leader or should not be a leader in solar power. And he sort of obliquely referenced the report by the National Renewable Energy Lab, the Department of Energy's NREL lab. We quickly went back and identified what that report was and showed that he got his facts wrong. And the fact that the current chairman of the Public Service Commission does not believe that solar is a good option for the state of Florida and doesn't understand that Florida has the best solar potential of any state in the eastern United States, and they have, because of the size of the state of Florida, we have one of the best markets in the United States for doing solar power. And he is so out of touch and so in line with what the utilities are trying to say, which is discouraging rooftop solar and businesses from using solar, just shows how unbalanced and biased the current commission is against solar power. And people have got to speak up. And so that, you go to our website at cleanenergy.org, go to our blog section. We have that up. We actually have the video clips of exactly what he said. And it was just a sad day for Florida for somebody in that position to be that out of touch.
You know, it'd be humorous if it wasn't so sad, because what it's doing is it's reducing the potential to put thousands and thousands of people to work and earn a living in an industry that should be, you know, have nothing to do with politics. Do you also have an impeach now button on that, Stephen? Okay, folks,
well, go there now. Yeah, it would be, we need a change. There's no doubt about it. And again, this is all going to, the only way we're going to win this is with people power. And that's the beauty of solar power, because it's actually giving people, it's returning power to the people to control their own destiny. But we've got to speak up and we've got to be organized, and we can't let monopolies dictate our future the way they are now. So we're very encouraged, and we think others across the state, like your company and others who are out there in the field day in, day out, trying to provide this technology, we've just got to make sure that the system isn't gamed against us, because this is clean energy, it's freedom, it's competition, it's giving people choice, and that's what has made America great.
Boy, Stephen, excellent job. Thanks for taking time to explain it today, and thank our friends George and Susan and Charlie and all of our friends at SACE for the outstanding job, and Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all you guys, and we'll be meeting again real soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good holiday.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that completes our show today, and I hope you enjoyed as much as I did hearing from Dr. Stephen Smith. What an advocate, and everyone at SACE, just outstanding people, and very, very proud to be associated with them. So I hope everyone has a great holiday season, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.